Yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show. We love this stuff so much. We're going to keep bringing it. The things you can use all the time. And have you ever thought to yourself, what CE do I pick? Is there a framework for deciding which courses I go to? Or if I'm a speaker myself, how do I get better? Well, today, my good friend, Dr. Christian Coachman, presents the speaker's evaluation chart. He actually came up with a great framework that you can use to take courses or give courses yourself. It is fantastic. So please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. Do you attend a lot of lectures or do you give lectures yourself? Well, today we're going to give you some insight on the speaker's evaluation chart with my dear friend, Dr. Christian Coachman, in our ongoing series. He always bends our brain a little bit, gets us to think a little bit better. And this is going to be a super cool podcast because he's going to give you a great framework, whether you're a speaker yourself or whether you're evaluating going to a lecture, you can use this framework to decide, how do I get better or how do I spend my time better? Christian, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. Pleasure to be back. Hello, everybody. And yes, this is a topic that, of course, makes me very excited because speaking and lecturing is my main job for the last 10 years, for sure. But I also like to learn from other speakers, evaluate other speakers, and above all, understand how to use my time better. Should I go to this class or should I go to that class? So should I listen to this person or should I listen to that person? Or maybe even better, stay at the bar and have a drink because nobody at that time is worth my time. And I know that this is something very common, and many times people walk into lectures at the beginning and after 5-10 minutes, they say, I don't think this is useful. They leave. Sometimes you spend 30, 45 minutes and you only realize at the end that the outcome was not exactly what you expected or the take-home messages were not clear. Sometimes you get actually excited throughout the lecture, but at the end, as you're flying back home, you're thinking about the lecture and you realize that there was nothing practical for you to actually do about that information. And on the other hand, sometimes we are surprised in a positive way. We walk into a lecture that maybe already started. We are standing on the back, watching some slides. We see some interesting stuff. We end up deciding we're going to stay. And surprisingly, at the end, we say, wow, this was totally worth it, my time. So I hope that this framework will help people make a faster decision, a better decision. And also for speakers, this is a way that I started to evaluate myself after lectures to see my weak spots and how to improve them according to this framework.
Yeah, I love this. I can't wait to be part of this conversation because I've been doing this for 30 years and you've been doing this way longer than I have, is that you see hundreds of speakers and some of them have so much promise and you're like, oh, and then there's a few, just a few. They're like, you experience it and you go, that was magical. And so today, maybe we can shed some light on what made those magical moments. And then also as a fan of education, you don't want to waste any time. You want to go and you get this high from an experience and you want to repeat it. And so it becomes, you know, it becomes something you wish for, or you expect every time. So take us through this, Christian. How did you even come up with this? Where did the origin of this come from?
Yeah. So that's an interesting story. We have a forum, a group, a big, powerful group of dentists from all over the world that we have this chat where we discuss all kinds of topics and even non-dental topics. And during the last few years, I believe 4 or 5 years, actually when pandemic hit and there was all this political discussion about the mess that how politics was getting involved with medical problem and the issues with COVID and the right wing and left wing and so on. And one colleague shared in the group a framework, a chart on how to evaluate and classify media channels, news channels, right? And it was super cool because it was placing all the major channels of the world, organizing in a level of quality, information quality, bias level, political influence. And in one shot, you could have a clear vision of what was going on with the information and where did you want to put your time listening to the information that you believed was more reliable. And so from that chart, we brought the discussion of how can we do this with dental speakers, with teachers, right, with lectures. So I kept that in my mind, and in the evening, I started to draw some graphics and create some strategies and try. The first question that I asked myself is, what are the parameters that we need to evaluate a speaker? What makes a great lecture? What makes a medium lecture? What makes a low-level lecture? What are the factors that can count positively or negatively in a lecture? And I came up with basically five parameters that are organized in a way that we can actually grade each one of these parameters and then have a total sum of that possible lecture and compare between lectures and see which one fits better to our needs as a listener.
Yeah, I love it. And you're going to take us through a two-dimensional framework and then also a third dimension, which will
Yeah.
be great.
So we have basically four factors that impact a quality of a lecture. Four factors. These four factors, if you can imagine these four factors as a slice of pizza, okay? So you have a pizza and you slice the pizza in four and you have four different flavors, four different flavors. And these four different flavors will create the quality of the overall pizza. And then what you do is that you take these pizzas and you make 100 of them and you place them one on top of each other and you create a third dimensional aspect where you can have l the four aspects in a lower level and the same four aspects on a higher level. And that brings us to the fifth component. So let me explain what, in my vision, are the four basic components of a lecture, right? Number one is the obvious one, educational quality, meaning how good the speaker is as a teacher, right? Teaching quality, number one. Number two is entertaining quality, completely different than teaching quality. We can remember for sure in college or at dental school, those amazing teachers that were not necessarily very good entertaining and could even be boring, even though they were good teachers, right? On the other hand, we see in the dental circuit, lecturing circuit, many very good entertainers that are not necessarily good teachers, and some of them are not good teachers at all. They're just good entertaining us with whatever they are talking, right? So these are two components. The third component is the clinical quality of the information. How good the clinical work, how good the speaker is clinically, or how good the topic, the content is clinically, right? So that's the third aspect for me. Of course, that has equal impact on the quality of the lecture. So we know, very common, many times great university professors have very low clinical quality because they haven't done clinical work for a long, long time. And that, of course, impacts the quality of the lecture. If they don't have clinical experience or they haven't been doing clinical work, they need to be very smart to partner up with great clinicians that will support them with content and support them with information to strengthen their lecture from the clinical side, regardless if they're clinicians or not. So clinical quality is the third aspect. And the fourth aspect is how useful the information is. You know, how, what was the word that I used before? How
relevant.
How relevant, yes. How relevant is the topic? Because you can have a great teacher with great entertaining skills and great clinical quality in the lecture, but the topic is just useless to you at that moment, right? Or you can have the opposite. The topic is amazing for you, but the teacher is not good. There's no entertaining quality and there's no clinical quality. So ideally, the perfect lecture means that you have a great teacher that is also great communicator, great entertainer, that has great clinical quality in his lecture and brings a great useful topic in his lecture. So very useful take-home message. So these are the four slices that creates this pizza that is the two-dimensional evaluation of the lecture. But then I started to realize that there is a fifth component that will create the third dimension of this framework. And that is the ethical, bias, ego component. And I'm putting them all together because they are kind of connected, right? Sometimes we see a speaker that has very good level on all the four components, but has an ego that is too big and ruins the whole thing, or doesn't have the ethics when transmitting the information, right? Being biased and not disclaiming it properly, influencing the information because they're biased, you know, being paid by companies and distorting the information. So you can have great four qualities and at the end reduce the quality of the lecture because bias, ethics and ego are not completely controlled. So this is the third dimension, the fifth component that goes up and down, right? So again, imagine all these pizzas layered over each other, and you can take a slice, one slice from the bottom pizza, one slice from the top pizza, and the flavors can be different. They are in different levels as you go up. The quality is much better, but they always have the four components to be analyzed.
Yeah. And you're going to take us through four different examples of this, but I can see how this is in play. Let me ask you a question before. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to find the perfect pizza combination. You're looking for the optimal one, don't you think? Like, of all the people that you've ever seen, there's no perfect combination.
Yeah, there's no perfect. Of course, there are some people that are very close to perfect, right? You see, for example, when I listen to John Coyce, John Coyce is an amazing teacher. He really knows how to put lectures that actually can teach you stuff, right? He's a real teacher. He's not just a clinician showing great cases. So he's a real teacher. At the same time, even though he's a very serious guy, and he's not like a funny guy or making jokes, he is entertaining. He knows how to be entertaining, right? I wouldn't say that he's the most entertaining guy on the circuit, but he knows how to make you want to be there for many, many hours, right? So he can entertain you on his way. He found his way to entertain people. Of course, he has great clinical quality. He's not the kind of lecturer that you would be wowed by the clinical photography and clinical cases, even though he has great clinical cases. Of course, there are courses and speakers out there that are magicians when it comes to the artistic side of documentation and quality of photography and quality of surgery and preps and implant placement and restorations. And the slides are just a piece of art, one after the other. And the clinical execution is just unbelievable. But everything that Coy shows, it's extremely good also clinically, right? So he has these components. And the useful part, that is the fourth part, it's much more dependent, not on the speaker, but much more on what you need, right? On what you need at that moment. So the lecture can be more or less useful depending on you prioritizing what is more important for me to learn today, right? And then going back to the John Coy's example, of course, that when it comes to bias, ethics, and ego, he's one of the best around because he's so straight to the point. He's so correct, right? He's so clear, honest, and transparent about the information that he's sharing that you know that what you're getting is at the highest level of unbiased, properly analyzed, and ethical information. So John Coyce could be an example of somebody at the highest level on these pizzas overlaid over each other.
Yeah, I can just echo that sentiment. I mean, one time I saw him just sitting in the airport and we just chatted and he wasn't like sitting in first class and like he was just like a normal guy, just reading a book off a plane and extremely approachable. And that made it even more real for me. And let me ask you about this. You mentioned ego. I want to ask you about this. You, before we hit the go button, you said super controlled ego. Tell me what that means to you.
Yeah, because I always say super control. I don't say low ego. I say controlled ego because it doesn't matter the size of your ego. What is important is for you to consciously control it, right? If you're a speaker, you're a teacher, you probably have a big ego anyway because you like to be on stage. If you like to be on stage, you have an ego, right? You like to be there. You like the spotlight. So whenever I see a speaker saying, "Oh, I don't have an ego," I say, that's BS, you know? That's dangerous because if you're saying that is because you don't even realize. And because of that, you probably don't control it. So the exercise for me is to daily control your ego and control before you go on stage, right? To make this exercise with yourself. Is it about me or is it about everybody listening to me? Right? Is this useful to me or is this useful to others? Is this a show off or is this an educational experience? So this is a humbling exercise that I believe every educator should do to control their ego and make sure that the information goes beyond us wanting to look good on stage.
Yeah. And then can I also ask you, because I have so many questions. The first component, how good as an educator, what are some of your favorite qualities of a great educator, you know, when it comes to that first bullet point?
So for me, a great educator will get you on the first 3 minutes, right? The great educator will catch your attention and you're going to look around and you're going to see everybody forgetting everything else in their lives and just focusing there because they get your attention. How they get your attention? By creating a mix of things on these initial three things. First, creating authority, but in a humble way. I call it humble confidence or confident humbleness. It's the perfect mix. You need to be extremely confident, but not too much. You need to be extremely humble, but not too much. You need to blend them because if you're too confident, you're cocky, you're arrogant, right? And if you're too humble, you become weak without confidence. You need to mix them, right? So this is the perfect mix. And the exercise is that you need to understand exactly the audience and you need to understand exactly the words that you're going to use to generate this humble, confident impression on everybody, right? I'm here. I'm vulnerable. I have flaws. But I know what I'm talking, and if I were you, I would listen to me, right? Now, how do you say that without saying it, right? How do you say that with body language? How do you say that with your slides? How do you say that with stories at the beginning that will tell people not only he's confident, but he's also humble, means that I can relate to him, but he also has authority to speak about this. And on top of that, so after you gain people with this confident humbleness, you need to show them that you know their problems or you know a problem that they have that you can help them overcome that problem. So you need to jump straight into a fact an anecdotal story about something that happens where 90% of the crowd will connect. Yes, that's me. I have that issue, or I didn't even think about it, but now that you're saying, I can see myself in that situation, or I've been doing this technique and I feel your pain, and I would be very curious to understand how to overcome this. And if you, speaker, are promising me that during this hour, you're going to share with me an idea to overcome what you're just saying is an issue that I can relate, maybe it's worth my time. So you should jump straight to what I call problems to be solved. Problems to be solved. These are the problems. You may not even be conscious about it, or maybe you are. So let's clarify the problems. Let's be on board here together. Let's be everybody on the same page. We have this issue, and there is a better way to do this or to overcome this. And my lecture is all about this, right? So I usually focus on the introduction. The introduction needs to bring all of them, and I divide the introduction into four components. I call it the topic. I call it number two, myself. Then I call it the topic and myself, and then I call it the problems to be solved. So a great speaker will immediately jump into why the topic, a big question mark, a big impactful statement about why this topic is relevant. This is the topic we're going to cover. Then they go into a little bit of myself. This is me, right? Authority with humbleness, creating that connection. Then you jump into connecting yourself to the topic. So you heard a few seconds about the topic, why the topic is important. You understand why I have authority to be here. Now you're going to understand why I'm the one speaking about this topic, the connection between the topic and myself, a little bit of background on that to show you that you should be here with me during this hour. And immediately after the topic, myself, and myself and the topic, I jump into the problems to be solved, meaning that I'm always going to ask myself, what are the one or three or five or seven or 10 pain points that the audience may have related to my topic, and I need to nail them. I need to go straight to them and tell realistic stories that people can relate, not fancy, sophisticated, scientific explanation of problems. You can be scientific afterwards, but at this moment, you need to go down to earth and get into the skin of the people sitting in front of you and tell stories that will bring their pain related to those topics and will make them connect. So you explain the problems, and as soon as everybody's shaking their heads, or at least 95% of the crowd is like, yes, we share the same pain. As soon as you see that reaction, you are ready to actually start your lecture. So this is the introduction. So when I'm sitting there and somebody, starts their lecture, I'm looking at these components to see if they are able to check all these aspects so we start in a good way the lecture.
I think you're so right, because if you've ever been to a great lecture or a sermon for that matter, a great sermon, let's get out of it. You go to a great sermon or a great anything, you're like, that person was talking to me. There were several hundred people, but that resonated right here in my chest. Don't you agree?
100%. 100%. And so the key is to, you cannot, it's impossible to win 100%, but a good lecture, you can win 95% of the people on the crowd, and that's what you want. You want 90%, 95% of the people saying, I want to be here. This is the best place to be at this moment. It all starts with the introduction. The problem is that usually people put a lot of energy preparing their whole lecture, and they don't put energy on the introduction because the introduction is just an introduction, and they jump, they stumble over the words, and they don't have that flow. And the other problem is that usually on the first 3 to 5 minutes, when you're most nervous, so you mess up even more. Right, because you are nervous. So the key for me to control your nerves is to rehearse and prepare the introduction, almost memorize the introduction to a level that you reduce the anxiety to a lower level because you have that flowing in your mind. So you repeat, repeat, repeat. And I do this still today. You know, the 10 minutes before I go up on stage, I'm silent, I'm on my corner, and I'm not memorizing anything. You know, some people like to write notes on all the slides. I don't like that because it doesn't come out natural, right? But the beginning, I tell people you should memorize as much as possible. If you can memorize the first 30 seconds word by word, that's the key. Because as you repeat this, you go up and you're anxious and you're nervous. You just take a deep breath and you just go very slow over that part that you rehearse. You know that everything else will follow. And you rehearse that beginning. And as you're repeating, what you already know is the best way to start. You're not trying to find the words. You're not trying to guess. You're just repeating what you already rehearsed. Word by word, you start to calm down. And as you finish the introduction, you're already on a good moment with yourself. And you know you did a great introduction. So you're smiling at yourself and say, I did it. Now it's just continue with the part that I know the most, that is the topic itself.
Absolutely. Now you've got a couple of examples of this, and I'm learning a lot here as a speaker myself. I'm always looking for a laugh or a way to relax the audience, you know, because I want them to relax and enjoy it. And I think you're exactly right.
So there's no one recipe for all, right? We all need to find our strategy to break the ice and to be okay with ourselves on those initial three moments. Some people, they say something funny. Some people, they like to be more bombastic, dramatic, you know, say something strong. Some people just like to connect and be very humble at the beginning, right? Some people like to tell a personal story. You need to find the way where you will break the ice, generate confidence, authority in a humble way, connect the topic to yourself, and introduce the problems to be solved. You need to find you. That's why, you know, when I work with speakers and I try to coach them, you know, on my coaching communication program, it's completely customized. You need to find your strategy on the initial 3 minutes, and everything will follow, right? You don't try to be funny if you're not funny. Don't try to be strong and powerful if that is not your main strength. You know, if you're a younger doctor, don't try to seem experienced. If you're an older doctor, don't try to be young and cool, or you know. So you need to understand who you are and find the best of you in the introduction. Instead of trying to reinvent yourself and do something different, find your strength, find where you shine, and emphasize that, multiply that, you know, in that introduction at least.
Yeah. Now give us a couple examples and how we use this formula.
So think about this. Every characteristic we can divide in three levels: low level, medium level, high level. Okay? This is for us to give a score. We can even put a number. Okay? So you have these three levels. So let's say here I'm using, that's what I wrote when I developed that. Let me just repeat here. Quality level. In all four characteristics on the two-dimensional level, the quality level grows towards the center of the circle. So imagine that as you get towards the center of the pizza, higher quality. Towards the edge, less quality. Of course, speakers can blend the four characteristics, but usually having their main strength in one of the four. So usually you see speakers and you can identify, you know, what is their strength among the four. Teaching skills, entertaining skills, clinical skills, and how useful the topic is. So, if we have four factors to evaluate, each factor will get a score from 0 to 2. 0 for low, 1 for medium, and 2 for high. Okay? So if the person speaking is a great teacher, 2 points for that person. Also great entertainment, 2 points more. Also great clinical quality, 2 points more. And also very useful topic, two more. So we have max 8 points over there. Okay. And then you move the pizzas up and down, bias, ethics, and ego. Also low level, medium level, and high level. So try to rate yourself if you're speaking, or try to rate others that are speaking. So let's say examples. Okay. Speaker one, lecture with great clinical cases. So showing great clinical cases. So you see that the speaker has great clinical quality or a great clinical team. So the quality of the cases are very good. Relatively useful info. That's very common. You know, the clinical quality is great, but the take-home message is not that. It's one more of the same, right? Little educational skills and no entertaining skills. So basically, this is the typical lecture where a great clinician was invited to lecture. Great clinician. We have eight, two-thirds of every congress is like this. Great clinicians showing great cases. Take-home message is just more of the same. No teaching skills, not a real educator, and didn't care about entertaining or investing on their communication skills. Just showing one case of over the other. So what we have here, it's a score of 4, okay, out of 10. Speaker number two, very entertaining lecture. This is also very common because nowadays in dentistry, we have some speakers becoming professional speakers, and they become a lot of fun to watch. They're very good on stage, but very not useful info, very common as well. The information is completely useless. The guy speaking is super entertaining. Information is useless. The person is not a real educator, but decent clinical cases. Just decent, right? Oh, I didn't mention on the speaker number one. So the great clinician with no education skills on the bias, ethics, ego aspect. Let's pretend that this speaker didn't disclaim properly. So you're giving them a low level on that. Okay? So a zero on that, meaning that they were involved with the product that they were promoting on the lecture. They didn't disclaim, they didn't make it clear. So we also rated low on the ethics vertical dimension. Now, speaker number two is the entertainer. Not very useful, not a teacher, decent clinical cases, and but no conflict of interest. No conflict of interest, but huge ego. So this speaker maybe didn't try to sell anything or influence people in a way that would benefit them, but the ego was so big that it was all about him. Right, all about my practice and my celebrity patients, and look at what I did, and blah blah blah. So the end score, 0 to 10, was also 4. Okay, let's go to speaker number three. A lecture with very useful information. Speaker number three is like a lecture from a speaker that was hired by a company to speak about something specifically. And you go to the lecture because you need to learn. Let's say that speaker will speak about a specific scanner. And you know that it's sponsored by the company. So bias is completely disclaimed. So there's no problem there. You know the speaker was hired by the company. So the topic is very useful because you're learning all the tips and tricks of the equipment that you just bought, right? So a lecture with very useful information. Good educational skills because the company hired that speaker because they are okay educators, right? But average entertainment charisma and average clinical cases. Okay? High level of bias since the speaker was hired from the company, but everything completely disclaimed. very clear, nothing hidden. Okay? So the final score is 6. And the final speaker, example number 4. A lecturer with great educational skills. So a real teacher, somebody that knows how to organize the information to teach people, to change behavior, to make you leave with the information clear in your head. The information was useful because the topic was very clear and you knew you needed that topic. So great teacher with the topic that is useful to you. Decent clinical cases at this point, if you have a great teacher with a very useful topic, the quality of the clinical cases is not anymore the most relevant. And proper entertainment, okay? No conflict of interest, great ethics, and controlled ego. Disclaimers were clear. Ego was controlled, was not about the speaker, was about the information. And great ethics approaching the topic. So you lose 1 point only on the clinical quality, 1 point on the entertainment, but you get maximum points from the other aspects. So you have 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
So that's example number 4. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. I love it. I love it. And as you use this now, I have so many questions for you. The ego thing is a hard one. And let me explain. I think it's always great to have a coach, a great coach in anything you do, especially in speaking.
Yep.
People that have an ego often don't see that. And if you've ever tried to give somebody feedback, okay, so what do you do about that?
Yeah. Actually, people that have an ego don't actually see that. It's not actually true. It's partially true because people that have an ego and see that, they control it so the others don't see that they have a big ego.
Yes.
So the ones that have a big ego that everybody sees, oh man, that person has a big ego, is because the person doesn't see it, so they don't know how to control it. So in 5-minute conversation, everybody's like, oh my God, such a big ego, right? So again, it's not about how big is your ego, but how conscious you are about it and willing to control it to become a better version of yourself.
Yeah. In your coaching, have you ever told anyone your ego is too big?
Yes.
Well, and has it been received well at all?
So as a communicator, you also know that, you know, they say, there's a saying in Portuguese, I don't know if you have it in English, God gives the blanket according to the cold.
Mm.
No, God gives the cold according to the blanket.
The blanket.
So God is not going to give you a level of cold, of temperature so low that you don't have a blanket good enough to handle it. Okay?
Right.
So in communication is the same. You need to know if you have enough credits with the person to tell the person certain things. So as a coach, you need to gain those credits. You need to create the connection. You need to create the relationship to a point that the person is okay. I like you. I respect you enough. You can be a little bit tougher on me and tell me a little bit more about the truth. Of course, you're not going to say that and the person is not going to say that back. You need to feel that and you need to feel the moment and say, let me tell you something. You know, I need to be very honest with you here. And you need to find the right words to say that.
Yeah.
And I usually, when I'm going to say something tough to somebody, something that I do is that I first say it to myself. Right? I say, look, I have a big ego. And every time I don't control my big ego, this is what happens. And I lose that moment. And I make a mistake. And I did it in the past. And let me tell you some examples and some stories. And I got to the situation and I acted like this. My ego was on control and I messed up. Right? You have a similar problem. It's not in certain situations. And this situation that I'm just analyzing here with you, it happened with you. And you lost the crowd, you know, and people were talking on your back and people were commenting afterwards. And even some people came to me to say that about you. So you don't be angry. Don't be mad. It's up to you to use this, to learn and to overcome this.
Yeah. I love this. I love this. In so many ways, you can use this as an attendee. We often joke in the States that the best education is high quality, simple, restorative things that you go, oh, I can totally use that. I can totally use that. And it challenges you to think a little bit bigger, and you feel like they have the same patience I do. You know, they don't have exclusive levels of patience or things like that. Don't you think?
No, because so that's a common mistake. You know, once you get an invitation to lecture, you tend to really try to be as sophisticated as possible. Talking about a sophisticated topic, sophisticated procedure has absolutely no relationship to good lecture. And many great teachers will take a very simple topic and talk about it in a way that you will remember forever. We all still remember our best teachers in elementary school, you know, in high school, in college, in, you know, in dental school. We remember those teachers. And sometimes they were teaching basics. They were teaching simple stuff. But they taught us in a way that we still remember. And we became good on that topic because of the simplicity that they use to teach us that topic.
So go back to that. That's one of my favorites is I have found that the best even take complex and they make it simple. Can you speak to that? Just this, you know?
So the first thing is that don't fall into the temptation to talk about everything. We want to cover all. Yeah. We want to bring like 20 years of experience into a 1 hour lecture. And, you know, the topic is X, and we want to show everything we do in dentistry. That's a common problem. Don't make the lecture about the cases, but make the lecture about the topic, about the learning objective. It's not about showing great cases one after the other. What is the learning objective? Build the storyline, build the structure of the lecture to get to the outcome that you want in terms of information and take-home messages. And then use the cases that you have to fit the pieces into that story. Cases, they need to be used, not necessarily from A to Z, all the cases, but bits and pieces to get you where you want in terms of the take-home message, right? So you need to control yourself emotionally because we are so attached to the best cases that we did that we just want to show them fully from A to Z, one after the other. This is what I call a case presentation, not an educational lecture, right?
Yeah.
The other thing to make complex simple is that you need to ask yourself, if you're going to lecture about something complex, it's because you're very good at it. You got the invitation because you've been doing it very well. So a good exercise is to go back in time and try to understand why you became good at it, how you became good at it. Go back in time and try to recreate your journey into not being good at it, because we forget there was one day that you were horrible, that you knew nothing about this topic that you're lecturing today. You became good. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, whatever. You had a journey. And for some reason, you succeeded in that journey step by step. Now, what you need to do is to take that journey and shrink into 45 minutes and explain the key moments that made you good at that topic. Distill your 20 years experience into the key factors that made you good at that specific topic. So you need to rehearse. You need to invest time. It's not just blah, 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 speaking nonstop about how great you are on that topic, but organizing that into a path. It's like something that I always did was to, every time I was doing something very well, I was always asking myself, why am I doing this well? And how can I teach others to do this even better than me? How can I create a structure in this process? How can I create a recipe, a system, a step-by-step? How can I break it down into what really matters, right? So if you think about a topic and you say, I'm very good at it, start by writing bullet points. Everything that you think it's important to be good at that topic, and you write, and maybe you're going to come out with 20, 30, 40 aspects. Then you need to combine them So now you challenge yourself, okay, I have 20 aspects that I think is important. Let's combine 20 aspects into five chapters, only five. So this and this and this combined, this becomes one. This and this are kind of together. Okay, this is two. These other five are all under the same umbrella. Okay, this is three. And suddenly you have a 1, 2, 3 recipe to become great at it. And then you break it down. One, you have these components. Two, you have those components. Three, you have those components. And you create a timeline. Say, so first you need to control this, then you need to control that, then you go to that. And as you exercise that, you create a system that has a flow where the order makes sense. And many times as you're building this order, you change the order. Say, no, actually, this topic should come before that topic, not after. And you change. You say, no, it's one, two, and three like this, right? And then you start to rehearse and repeat. So I'm constantly repeating the story to myself over and over again and polishing the system, polishing the recipe, distilling, simplifying, structuring, right? In a way that now I get somebody that is not good at this topic and I say, look, I'm gonna make you great at this topic in 45 minutes. Let me explain to you. So you need to start with ABC. This, and this. Are you with me here? One, two, three. We're gonna cover these three topics. Do you understand the reason why we have one, two, three, not one, three, two? Yes, we are on the same page. Okay, let's jump into one now. And then you go little by little until the person ends this 1 hour experience and says, it makes sense. I understood. Of course, I don't have the experience. I need to practice. I need to do this over and over again. But I feel like the know-how is embedded in my brain in a way that Monday morning I can start executing on it.
Yeah. Christian, this is so good. I have so many questions. I have like 10 more questions. I know I can't keep you all day on this. And this just becomes a great seed for more conversations on this particular topic. If you're listening to this podcast, you're getting inside of the brain of one of the best educators in the world in dentistry. So I really appreciate this framework. It's an awesome one. Now, I want you to do this. Give us some final thoughts, and then we can always come back and revisit this.
Final thoughts. So, for the listeners, for us when attending a congress or a lecture, your time is precious. Don't waste your time with things that don't deserve your time. So, putting some energy on actually evaluating what you're going to do with your next 1 hour actually makes sense, right? So, ask yourself pragmatic questions. Be pragmatic with your time. It is better in a dental congress, it is much better to be networking at the bar, having a drink and a cool conversation with people than sitting in a lecture for 1 hour and taking nothing out of it. And I can tell you, unfortunately, too many lectures in congresses are not worth watching, right? Because of one of these five reasons. Either because the topic is not useful to you. So, first question you need to ask yourself is, what are my priorities? Don't just listen to stuff because you're going to get even more confused. And even worse, if you go to a lecture that the topic is not a priority for you and that lecture is amazing, it's going to make you feel like you should make that topic a priority when you already decided before it wasn't a priority and you're going to get confused. So, ask yourself, you're going to a congress. You are going on a mission. It's a 2-day event, 3-day event. You are on a mission to take the best out of it, socially and clinically, technically, business-wise as well, everything, right? So you are on a mission and you're going to pick your lectures professionally. You're going to be a professional lecture selector. You're going to become a professional lecture selector. First, prioritizing the topics, identifying the topics that are more useful. Then, researching about the speakers to understand who are the real teachers and who are just showing off. The entertaining stuff is a bonus, right? If you have two great speakers talking about similar topics, you can add the entertaining and say, I'm going to go to this. Or go consciously to an entertainer without expecting any education. But consciously say, I want to be entertained. There's no problem on that. I know that this is going to be a show, beautiful pictures, very funny, and I know I'm going to take zero out of it, but I'm going to have fun. So, a conscious decision is what I'm suggesting. Make a conscious decision. And then again, ask yourself about the clinical quality, because if the clinical quality is not there, you need to then ask the second question. Should I trust the clinical insights that I'm getting, right? Or is this a lecture that is not about clinical insights, so the clinical quality is not that relevant? Smart questions. Ask yourself smart questions. And if you're not able to research beforehand, because most of these things you can already understand before the lecture, on the first 5 to 10 minutes, you can go back and ask yourself again and have a great feeling about where this lecture is taking you. And the final, the fifth component, bias, ethics, and ego, make sure that disclaimers are, sometimes people don't even read the disclaimers. This speaker is sponsored by XYZ. So as soon as they say that the best scanner is X, you already know there is some bias on that decision, right? So for the audience, for the ones going to watch lectures, this is my final message. Choose better who you're going to listen, because there's an abundance of information, too much information in the world, too many people speaking about everything. We are overwhelmed with information. Make sure you choose, not only in dentistry, but in life, make sure you choose better who to listen to, because time is short. Life is short. And for the speakers, do the same exercise, but from the other perspective. Be humble, be tough on yourself, be critical. But at the same time, don't be too hard on yourself. Be critical so you can get better. Think about these five aspects. Work on these five aspects. Every time you finish a lecture, give yourself a few minutes and ask yourself these five questions. How good I was on these five aspects, and how can I get better to the next lecture?
So well said. Now I have a question. If I'm an aspiring speaker, I've watched you grow and develop many amazing speakers. One of them we have speaking this week, Dr. Sean Bahrami, to
Yeah.
our community. And many of them we've featured on here. If I'm an aspiring speaker, you mentioned you do help. If I wanted to reach out to you, how would that work?
So I have a program that I call WCCP, World Class Communication Program. It's a coaching program for speakers, experienced speakers, beginners. It doesn't matter what stage you are. It's one of the things that I do that I love the most. Communication, teaching, speaking is something that I'm constantly learning and trying to improve. And I love sharing and helping people to improve as well. So if you just, send me a message on Instagram, Chris Coachman. So I'm interested on your communication coaching program. I will reply, give you the instructions, and we can take from there.
Sounds good. Christian, thank you so much. That was fantastic. What an amazing framework to use on both sides of it. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But if you're not taking notes while you were listening to this, what are you thinking? But we're taking notes for you. So if you flip up to the show notes, you're going to see links to all of what Christian discussed, also a lot of the bullet points. So you can just go back and refresh. Feel free to reach out to Christian and send him a DM. He will respond to you. I hope this was useful. So thank you guys for listening. We're going to continue the conversations. Great stuff on the way with Dr. Christian Coachman. We got a surprise coming up here shortly. So you're going to want to tune in and listen to that. So until we hear from you guys next time, or you see us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. I hope you guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hey, and thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information,
so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.